Hello everybody and welcome to this week's episode of Magically Cruising, the cruise podcast where we share our personal cruise tips and reviews to help you make the most out of your next sailing. My name's Kieran, I'm an independent travel agent specialising in all things cruise, Disney and North America, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host.
Hi, I'm Sarah and I write over at Cruising for All, Cruising with Kids, where we share cruise tips and advice for booking your next cruise.
And this week we are once again joined by the other half of Cruising for All, Donna. Do you want to say hello and introduce yourself to everyone?
Hello, I'm Donna and I write over at Cruising for All, Cruising with Kids and Light Love Do.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming back on. And Donna, it's really good to have you back on the podcast again. We always love it when you're with us. And today you are coming on to share about a cruise you've recently done. So do you want to tell the guys which ship it was and where you went?
So I have just done a cruise, a 10-day cruise on Celebrity Infinity, and it was Canary Islands cruise. So we boarded in Barcelona. So we had a lovely day in Barcelona, and then we went all the way down through to the Canary Islands. We did Fuerteventura, Gran Canaria, Tenerife. I'm trying to remember them all now. Morocco and Cadiz. And we had quite a few days at sea as well, but that was quite nice as well.
Because you were on a longer cruise, you just mentioned Barcelona. Did you decide to spend all day in Barcelona rather than get on the ship earlier?
No, we got on the ship earlier. When we book our cruises, because we're sometimes based in Spain, so we try and book cruises that are easy for us to hop on, hop off. We like a winter cruise because we can sightsee. So we picked this particular one because it was Barcelona, which is only 5 hours from where we are in Alicante. We flew in the night before. So, and we had the day in Barcelona the day night before, which was lovely. And then, especially my husband, the first thing he wants to do is get on the ship. So the minute we could get on the ship, we were straight over to the port to get on the ship. So, which was really good. But no, we did do a day in Barcelona the day before. I love Barcelona. We just try and do one thing each time.
I say, I think it's good as well because Celebrity are keeping this ship now, or a ship in Europe during the winter months. And it's the first time in a long time, from my understanding, they've had a ship sailing in the Mediterranean / Europe during the winter months. Because usually, obviously, they send their ships kind of down to Australia or back to the Caribbean. So I think it's just really great that for fans of Celebrity, maybe who either in America want to come over and do the Med in the colder months, if they're not fans of like the peak season, but equally for us in the UK as well, if we want to get away and do kind of a Celebrity cruise in the off season, then it's great to have a ship that's kind of based in the Med now for the winter months as well. And it's been really popular.
Yeah, well, this was it. So normally, again, because we like to get away from the cold winters in England, we tend to come out to Spain for the sort of winter. And that's when we look for our cruises. So last year when we were looking for cruises, we could only find MSC doing those sorts of itineraries. And we really wanted something, okay, it wasn't going to be warm, but we just wanted something where we could go explore, have some time on the ship. And we were really surprised, actually, to find that Celebrity was doing that itinerary this year. It was 10 days. And going down to the Canary Islands as well was fantastic because we really did have the weather there. It was really lovely and warm, proper summer weather. So we got that as well. So that was really good. And as I said, it's a really good opportunity to really get out and see the ports and really explore because it's not too hot. So that was really good. Hopefully they'll do it next year to get on another one.
Before we go on to ask all about the ship, I'll just, for anyone that's new to the Celebrity fleet, so Celebrity Infinity is a Millennium class ship that launched in 2001. She was refurbished in 2019, but has just, as we speak, come out of dry dock, so just been refurbished again. And she's one of the smaller fleet because she only holds 2,170 passengers, so that's a really nice size ship. So this was your first cruise on Celebrity, wasn't it, Donna?
Yes, it was my first cruise on Celebrity. We were always, what they say, royal to loyal, and then we found MSC again because of where we were travelling. So we managed to join the Captain's Club using our points from Royal, so that was quite a bit of a bonus, which made us elite on Celebrity, which is in their top three tiers. Obviously got the Elite, Elite Plus and Zenith. So that was really good. So we got some little extra added bonuses as well. And it makes you feel quite special. Even though we was going, saying, welcome back. And we're like, well, I've never been on here before. But that was quite nice. it was funny, actually. But you do get a couple of little extra perks and things, which was really good. I really, really loved it. Everyone kept saying to me, oh, it's really luxury. The food is really nice. I was thinking, how can it be any different to the likes of Royal Caribbean? And being a smaller ship and an older ship, you haven't got as much to do on board. But it brings me back to when we first started cruising, when the ships weren't quite as over the top as what they are now. And that's why we loved it. So we thoroughly loved it. I had an absolute blast when I got off that ship and I was absolutely worn out.
Really? Why is that though? Is that because I know you love exploring ports as well. Like you are like the queen of finding really cool places to go in ports. So we could chat about that a bit more later. But what about the ship was it that kind of appealed to you? Or what did you enjoy about the ship? Is it the layout, the decor?
Well, even though I'd heard lots of reports that it was in a not a bad state of repair, but obviously because it was an older ship, that was showing signs of wear and tear. I personally didn't really see that, especially whilst inside the ship. I didn't notice anything that was falling apart or anything like that. I think outside, maybe on some of the rail, like metal rails, you probably see a little bit more of the rust coming through where it probably needed a repaint. But other than that, it was immaculately clean at all times, still quite modern. Some of the lounges were quite bright and airy. You had the darker lounges, you know, where you've got like little jazz bars and stuff like that. I found it really modern and really, really lovely and lots to do on board because there was, I think we had four sea days. There was quite a lot of activities, lots of quizzes. You could do puzzles and games and sports activities. And there was activities going on throughout the day. And again, because it's sort of like that American-y, you know, you're going to get the good quizzes and things. And I really enjoyed that. So, and I don't like missing anything. So I'd be like, right, okay, right, what we've got this morning. So we have a coffee. Then we've got to get to lunch as soon as it opens. Want to go for lunch. And then, because then we've got a quiz at 2:30. Then we've got that quiz at 3:30. Then we've got that quiz at 4:30. And then before I knew it, it's like 5:00 tea time. It's like out. So, and then obviously I love karaoke and I love the shows. We did the show every night. I think we might have missed one show. We did the show every night. Then we was up to do the karaoke and they had loads of games in the bar area. And so it was, I just didn't want to miss anything. So I think I tried to cram it all in. And we met some really nice people as well, actually, that were really wanted to do everything and joined us for quizzes and stuff like that. So you started talking to people and you meet them again the next day. And it was really, really nice environment to be in, actually.
How did you meet them? Was that through just casually around the ship or what was it through dinner?
We met them at one of the quizzes, actually. We met them at one of the quizzes and just really clicked with them and they were really funny. You know when someone's just really wants to do everything like I am? I'm always want to go and do this and always up for a laugh. And we just ended up clicking with them. We sort of spent, or we didn't arrange, but we knew we'd meet there and we'd meet them. Like that. So it was really lovely to, and I think that's what's nice about it when you meet people and you can spend time with them and chat with them and it just makes it a little bit more exciting, doesn't it, really, to do things like
definitely.
That. Not that we would live in people's pockets, but it's that was quite a nice touch, actually. It was really lovely.
You find that though, don't you, with certain brands, if you get the brand and that brand resonates with you, the type of customers then that those brands attract are people generally you're going to vibe with as well in life. Like we say it all the time with the cruisers, me and Phil pick, it tends to attract the type of people we like to hang out with as well, naturally as well. So I think Celebrity equally does that. Royal does it. MSC does it. You're going to find very much like-minded people who have that sense of exploration. They like the slightly finer things or nicer things in life type of thing. So I think it's just nice when you get on board and you're surrounded by people who kind of, you know, like to enjoy the world the same way you do.
Yeah. Really, really good. It was just a really enjoyable, fun cruise. It was a bit of a joke, really, towards the end because sort of everyone knew my name. I don't know how. I think because I did.
Didn't surprise me in the slightest.
I did spend a lot of time in the karaoke. Not very successfully, might I add. One or two was all right, but there was a couple of disasters. But then there was like you had the concierge team that were always there in certain events and they got to know your name and stuff like that. And then one of the waiters was really funny. I think he was one of the members of management of the certain areas. He sort of oversaw things. And he said, oh, I will miss you being on board. I looked forward to what you was wearing every day.
Oh, I love that.
Because I said, I have something bright on every day, like literally bright green or bright red, or my cruise clothes, I like them to be bright. So I think it was quite funny. It was just a really enjoyable cruise.
So what cabin did you book?
So we just had a veranda, which I now know is just a balcony. Just a normal veranda balcony cabin. Again, that was where you could probably see the age of the ship, because they were a bit more old-fashioned. I mean, the woodwork there, but all the other pictures were like dark red and stuff like that, sort of them older colours.
Yeah, that's orange.
Not like what you see on the ships now. You've got the greys and the light blues and stuff like that. But again, completely clean, lots and lots of storage space, loads of hanging space. Yeah, just a really nice cabin. And again, you don't really, on that sort of cruise, you don't really use the balcony that much. I normally go out in the morning and have a little look to see where we are, and that's about it, really.
How did you end up with a balcony, though, as well? Because I know, obviously, you did book an ocean view, didn't you? So did you bid up, or did you get an upgrade?
We bid up for that. I don't think that was very successful either, because they let my husband do it, and I think he bid the maximum. I think we ended up paying more. We had a good deal at the start.
You could have had a suite for the amount you bid up.
a really cheap cruise. And then it was like, I don't think it's as cheap as what you thought it was once we'd done that. Yeah, so I think that's the lesson learned, let's face it, for the next time we do that. But it was nice to have that outside space. It was really nice and it was noisy. We was on deck 7 midship, which was brilliant, which we'll definitely try and do that again, to get middle of the ship and middle of the decks. It meant everywhere was within easy reach.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a cruise. I did another cruise last week, and that cruise, we was on deck 11, sort of midship, but everywhere seemed such a long way to get there. whereas that was quite nice being midship as well.
That's why it's a premium, though, isn't it, midship?
I quite like being at the end, though. I quite like being at the end of a ship. It's quieter, but
yeah.
It's funny, isn't it, how you all like different things. Like when you were saying about the balcony, we spend so much time on our balcony, because we don't go out for breakfast. So we always have breakfast on our balcony.
Yeah.
And we can sit there for hours. And so it just shows how everybody cruises so differently.
Yeah, yeah. So we very rarely have breakfast. We tend to go up to the coffee bar, which we did there, and we would get a coffee, and they'd have small pastries. So we was having a coffee and a pastry for breakfast, and then we'd have an early lunch. But again, it was probably a bit too windy and a bit cold from most, especially on the sea days, to be sitting out on the balcony. But you could easily have done that when you was in the Canary Islands or even in Cadiz, because even though it was probably only 13 degrees, when you're in that sun, it's really, really warm. You can really feel it on your face.
So did you do any specialty dining? So I suppose this is a whole subject in itself, is the food and celebrity. So, yeah, you tell us about
it. Well, this is a story in itself. So we obviously got on board and we ate in the restaurant the first night, and the food was amazing. It was really lovely. And we'd booked specialty dining that day. We'd booked two restaurants. We'd booked it was a package for two, and I think it was about €99 for two per person. And we was going to go to the Tuscan Grill and Le Petit Chef at Cuisine. And then as the days went on, the food just got better and better in the restaurant. And he kept going,
really?
We haven't booked the celebrity dining yet. We'll book it. And we got to the walls and we went, we don't want to now. We had like 3 days left. And we knew that at the end of the cruise, you get the nice stuff coming out, don't you, really? You get like your lobster towel and you get your beef Wellington. It was like, and you get your, what's the soup called? The cheese one.
The French onion
soup. So you get all them things out, and the baked Alaska tend to come out, don't they? Surprise you at the end of the cruise. So we just went, we don't want to do it. So, but then it appears we'd actually been charged, that they'd said that we was in the restaurant. So we went down to guest service and said, look, we haven't used it, but they've been charged for it, and they just took it off, and we didn't go. I just felt like I just didn't want to miss out. The food was so good. It really, really, really was good. The best cruise food we've ever had. And that's saying something, because we've done hundreds of days at sea. And Royals was very good. The last cruise we've just been on, that was lovely, but just not quite the level that we experienced on Celebrity Day. And the couple that we met on board have done quite a lot of Celebrity. And they said that this ship, the Celebrity Infinity, seemed a bit exceptional, where they've been on slightly bigger ships and not received quite the same level. And they said that this food seemed to be quite good. I don't know whether, because it's a smaller ship, and they said the same, that it was really, really good food. So that was interesting.
That's the thing. We did Apex, and we found, and again, there's nothing wrong with the food. I'm not saying the food was bad, but it was very repetitive. It was kind of variations of the same thing. It was meat, veg, and sauce. That seemed to be the majority of the options, with the occasional kind of option. Whereas sometimes you just love nothing. There's lots of different types of food. So you can get like a spaghetti, a curry, a this. So if you're in the mood for something like that, you've got a choice. And I found on our Apex sailing, at least anyway, it was very repetitive of the food in the main dining room. Again, all lovely what we ate. But by day three, I was like, oh, it's another meat with a sauce type of thing. So was there like a lot of variety, and do they keep bringing out new stuff for you to try?
Yeah. Lots of variety, some like sort of Asian inspired dishes, noodle dishes, all sorts of things really. And the other thing that we loved was the fact that we actually went to the buffet, and we never ever eat in the buffet. We very rarely even have lunch in the buffet, just because I think we enjoy sitting down for lunch. Love sitting down. Yeah. You like that nice relaxed bit. So if the restaurant's open at lunchtime, we'll tend to go in the restaurant for lunchtime. But we were actually going to the buffet, and the food, it just looked fresh. It looked really vibrant and colourful. Pizzas were amazing, absolutely amazing. I don't even like pizza, but we were finding ourselves like coming out going, just get us one slice, please, just one slice. And then they had like this pasta bar where you could just pick whatever you wanted, and he cooked the pasta for you. And each day was three different sauces and different types of pasta, so it was never the same. They had an Indian cuisine section, which we absolutely loved. It was just amazing. So a few times for lunch, we had that. The salad bars, you could go up, you could do your own salads, you could make your own paninis, make your own sandwiches. A lot of choice, a real lot of choice. And then there was gelato and ice creams that you could choose from as you walked out, and you could take it out with you, which was really nice. And then they had this poolside burger bar upstairs, and I was like, I don't eat burgers,
and I love those burgers.
Yeah, your burgers and your hot dogs, and the burgers
were amazing.
And I was like, okay, I'm gonna try one. Well, best burger ever. So it was like, so we finally ran, right, we've got a little while to do, let's have a burger. I did eat a bit too much, if I'm honest. But the food, honestly, I can't rave about it enough. It was really, really good. Really good. And obviously, having not done another Celebrity, it's really hard to compare whether it's the fact that it's a smaller ship and a little bit more personal. I don't know. It was something.
No, I think it's obviously it's a premium cruise line, isn't it? So the quality of the food is really good and type thing. And I've seen a trend as well via all the Facebook groups that I'm in, where a lot of people are saying like the buffet Ocean View is so good that some people are skipping their main dining room meal as well to go and have the buffet, because obviously it's a lot more casual. You can get in and then get out and enjoy the rest of your cruise type of thing, rather than having to sit and wait. But the food on Celebrity seems as if they've turned a corner, because there was a bit of a period where people were saying they were cutting back on costs and food was getting a bit kind of, and it was happening on Royal as well. But all the reviews I'm hearing now, the last 6 months plus, they're all saying the food has turned a corner now and they're spending money again, and it's some of the best foods. And even, like you say, casual food is at the top of the game of the cruise industry.
I mean, there were a couple of little things. The only things I could fault is we had the dining, they don't call it any time, do they? They call it select dining, don't they? Select. And we had that, and the first night, the queue was, it took ages to even get to the queue to say we wanted to dine. So that took ages in itself. And then you get your buzzer. So we was looking, it was probably 40 minutes or 45 minutes before we even got in the dining room, which we're not used to. We've not done that before. So that was a bit of a disappointment. By the end of the cruise, because they knew what time we were going, we were tending to just walk straight. They said, that's going to be your table, very much like your normal regular dining. So we ended up with the same table then for the rest of the cruise. So then it wasn't a problem. Plus we got to know the staff, and they knew that we were going to be sitting, and we said, we don't want to be anywhere else. We'd like to be with the same waiters and stuff like that. So that was really good.
Yeah.
And oh, and the other thing that we've mentioned is, which they started doing at the beginning of the cruise, is coming over to this great big bread basket. There's only two of us. And this bread basket had like about 8 rolls in it and breadsticks. And the food was like, I didn't complain, but I just was like, why have they given, they didn't ask, they just plonked it. And then you think, it's just such a waste. And occasionally I might have one roll with a soup, but it just seems such a waste rather than them coming over saying, would you like a roll? So we just kept saying, no, we don't want it. And we did mention that, but apparently a lot of people were complaining that they weren't getting a bread basket anymore, where they used to be giving out the rolls singularly.
Really?
And now they've gone back to giving out the bread basket. Like, that's just...
Right.
And he actually said, we have quite a lot of wastage again now. So that was just catering to people's, what people wanted and what they was expecting. They're used to that all the time, I suppose. But that we found, he was like, no, just have one roll or... No, because we did, you know, all these great big bread rolls. That was the only thing I could comment on in the dining room, really. Other than that, the service was excellent. They had separate like sommelier for the wine and all separate, which was, I quite like that, rather than one person trying to do everything. So yeah, it was really nice.
Well, I just want to, because it's an interesting topic you say about select dining, and I think we probably, again, this is a whole other topic, but, and I want to ask you as well, Sarah, your opinions on it. When you cruise, do you prefer kind of having that flexibility to dine whenever you want, or are you happy with kind of first seating, second seating? This is a total segue, but I think it's such a great topic about dining on cruise ships and the way the cruises are going with dining.
No, I like the flexibility. What I used to hate about it is if it was like you was, we're not big sunbathers, but say you've got a bit of tea time sun and you want to sit by the pool and then you're rushing back to get ready. So I like that flexibility that you can go a bit later or you can go earlier.
We're the same. We've only ever done set dining once when the kids were younger. I always find the early seating too early. Like if you're a bit in port all day, well, like want a bit of relaxation, glass of wine out, sun. I like that, and then being able to get ready. And then we found the later seating a bit too late because I don't really like doing the early show. I like to do my show. So we never worked out for us.
No.
So we tend to go literally bang in between. You tend to go for dinner about 7:30, which is in between both.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Really well. And then the show after, and then the disco.
I only bring it up because you find that those ships that offer it, where they offer both, so obviously Celebrity and Royal are an example of this. They offer both. They offer fixed dining and also a choice of my time or select dining. But the wait team themselves seem to prefer to want to keep you to a fixed time. So even though they say to you, yeah, come in and choose when you want, the knock-on effect of that is you are then technically waiting longer because you're in a line of other people who waited in that line before you. And then they're doing what you said is happening, basically, and we found it ourselves as well. They were saying to you that, yeah, you can come when you want, but if you want to make sure that you're kind of sitting at the table, you're seeing the right wait team, and they're looking after your dietary, your drinks, and they get to know you, that level of service that you get when you do fixed dining, they're then saying, yeah, come flexible, but come at the same time every day. So say if you do come at 7:30, then we'll make sure your table's ready at 7:30. So it seems like a happy balance, but it does mean you're going through that 1 or 2 days of pain of bedding into the system, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the other problem as well, we booked it. It was a last-minute cruise, as you know. We booked it weeks before we sailed. So we had no options at all to book dining. When we went in to book dining on the app, it was literally 5:30 or nothing. So it was so we went straight, we're not eating at 5:30. And I think what happens is on that initial day one, you've got all the people that have booked, all the people that haven't booked. And I think what they try and do is they gauge it and they end up with, those people are quite spread out and you tend to find the same people eat the same time every day. And once they've had a couple of days of that in the restaurant, they sort of know, well, we know that this rest of the so-and-so will be sitting there every day at 7:30. So then it became quite easy. People were going in at the same time each day and then they know where they are. So I do think it was a little bit temperamental the first couple of days. Plus we booked, but sort of really technically we'd booked by the second day and it was the same time every day after that.
So drinks... Obviously, very important.
Very important. So we did book a drinks package, and I would say we definitely used our fair share of the drink package. Obviously, because you have the beautiful coffees in the morning, so we'd have a lovely coffee, and is it El Bacchio?
Bacchio.
It's lovely, lovely coffee. Yeah, really lovely coffee in there in the mornings. And then obviously we'd have wine with our lunch. cocktails and then wine with dinner and then cocktails in the evening, and it just went on and on and on and on. But obviously what was really good to know is we're just getting to the point where now, because we are elite on that and we're diamond on Royal, is we're doing a couple of cruises where we're not going to have a drinks package. Watch this space.
Yeah.
Because Captain's Club, if we die, I think, I don't get me right, because obviously we didn't really use it because we had the package anyway, but I believe the Captain's Club was between about half past five and half past eight. And they, you could get from your Captain's Club list, which was certain wines and things, you could drink in any bar. So you could go up to a bar and have the wine, whatever's on the Captain's Club list. I have got a copy of that somewhere. You could drink that in any bar. So that's quite good. It's a bit like the Diamond Lounge on Royal, where you don't have to actually go into the Diamond Lounge. But it, obviously on Royal, you get five cocktails, which you can drink in any bar, or four cocktails, depending on where you are. So that was really good. So there was a few little perks there. And the Captain's Club welcome back parties, or the, I love those. And you always have a little dancer or something, and then and drinks and stuff. So there's lots of opportunities like that if you are that tier. But other than that, you do need to work out how much you're going to drink to work out whether the package is worth it, definitely.
Did you have the Classic or did you upgrade?
We upgraded to the Premium. And the maximum was 17 euros. I believe it was in euros. Was it probably in euros?
No, dollars.
Well, it's in dollars, isn't it? Yeah. 17. And anything above that, you just paid the extra.
Was there a lot above it?
To be fair, no, there wasn't. Cocktails-wise, barely anything. It was really more wine. So, for instance, we were drinking a really nice French Provence wine on the package, and it was really lovely. They did sort of run out towards the end of the hot day, I think, because everyone was drinking it. We saw everyone drinking it. And then they had Whispering Angel on the normal bar menu, and it was just $2 more. So you just pay that. So we had a few glasses of that. But it was really nice to see a bit more of a varied menu for an American cruise line, because generally on Royal Caribbean, you've got the Californian wines, which they're nice, but it was really nice to see some Mediterranean, some French, like some Provences. It was really lovely wines, a bit more of a varied selection. So that was another thing that we thought, the wine menu was fantastic. Really good. Good choice.
I have to say, I was dead against upgrading because I thought, I don't need to upgrade. I drink wine and soda. But it was after our last podcast with Laura and you were talking about the cocktails, Kieran. And I thought, I want to go in all the swanky bars and have the swanky cocktails. Yeah. And so I think it only works out $200 to upgrade, or £200.
Yeah,
it's
still good value for money, even if you do upgrade to the Premium. It's still good value.
Yeah, because Chris said upgrade. I was like, yes, I'll be having all the cocktails and the pink fizz. So yeah, I can see the value in it. Actually, when you look at the cocktail prices, it's definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite cruise cocktail?
To be honest, I'm not really much of a cruise cocktail drinker anymore. I used to work my way through the whole menu when I was younger, when I first started. Exciting. I always have a pina colada. I always have at least one pina colada. Obviously, they're very creamy, aren't they? I like the Baileys, Alexanders and stuff like that. So I always tended to have a nice sort of Baileys drink cocktail towards the end of the evening, a couple of daiquiris. And the, what's the one? Or the half pina colada and half Miami Vice. So half pina colada, strawberry daiquiri. Had a few of those.
Yeah. I tend to get them because, like you say, like a pina colada is too creamy. Then the other one, you want a little bit. Yeah, they're a nice kind of between the two in there, when you're kind of like, I want something holiday-ish, but not too creamy and not too sweet either. Yeah, it's a nice mix.
Yeah, so I didn't go mad on the cocktails this time. And
I'm like mango daiquiri.
Yeah, they're nice as well.
That's my favourite.
Mimosa in the morning.
Yep.
We did go to breakfast. We did use the breakfast a couple of times. We did have some lovely Eggs Benedict, which
in the restaurant.
Is that in the main dining room?
In the main dining room for breakfast. But actually, they had the Eggs Benedict in the Ocean View Cafe, and that was equally as nice. And it was cooked there in front of you, there and then. So that was really lovely. It wasn't just plated up when you took one. It was, you went and you did it, and he did it for you. So that was very nice.
I think Celebrity's like my favourite buffet.
It is lovely. The buffet was just lovely. Really lovely. Cheeses. Oh, the cheese. Oh, my God. The cheese was amazing. They had all different European cheeses, and some of them were just like, you had to get your spoon in because they were just, oh, real smelly. Oh, beautiful cheese. Oh, yeah. Probably a good job I didn't go to the buffet every day, because I would have just come out looking like a cheese ball. It's amazing. And would I book Celebrity again? 100% yes. In fact, we nearly booked it while we was on the cruise. It was like, where can, but we can't really fit another one in just yet. So we was umming and ahhing about booking another one, but we definitely will be booking another one. And in fact, husband's got a bit of this, like, this thing about the points. So obviously, because we managed to move our points, your points still start at zero. So even though we're elite, for us to get any higher, because there are some really good benefits to it, for us to get any higher, you've got to start your points from the beginning. So it's like, right, we need to book some celebrity cruises. I mean, it took forever to get any higher than that. But yeah, no, he really wants to book another one. So it was really, yeah, we loved it.
I thought they carried across. I thought you could earn celebrity points Royal and Royal points with Celebrity.
So they carry across. So, and either way, so whether you're with Celebrity or Royal, whatever way you do it, they carry across and you come in at a certain level. So anyone, Diamond, Diamond Plus or Pinnacle, automatically starts at Elite on Celebrity. Even if they're Pinnacle, they won't go to Zenith. But if they wanted to get to Zenith, the points are still zero. So, for instance, I've got now, I think, 20 points for my sailing. And because I already had 30 points, but you don't get points when you bid up. So now our points would have to be accumulated for us to reach over Elite.
Okay.
Elite Plus.
And it's your level transfers over, but not the number of nights, basically.
Yeah,
so you get the level rewards, but not the number of nights.
Yep. And then vice versa. If you're Elite, Elite Plus or Zenith on Celebrity, it will go across to Diamond on Royal.
I was looking at this after you said it, because when you look on my app, on my Royal app, I don't have to enroll in it or anything, but it just tells me what my level is compared to what my level is now. So as long as you keep moving up Royal Caribbean, in theory, you should move up Celebrity.
Yeah, because mine says I've got 750 points to get to Elite Plus. So I've got to go through Classic, Select, Elite. Yeah. I just
two world cruises should do it.
Well, Darren really, really wants to do one of these world cruises, like 3 months here or 3 months there. We can't wait. But we've already got three more cruises this year. So I'm not doing bad. We've already had two and it's only February. not doing bad, are we?
So what have you got planned for this year then?
So I'm doing a transatlantic from New York on Anthem of the Seas, I think. It's Anthem, yes. From New York to Southampton, 6 days at sea. And then it's doing Madeira, La Coruña, Spain, and La Havre. And everyone says they don't like La Havre. I know you've said it's a bit boring before, haven't you, Kieran? But I'm determined to find some special little things in La Havre to write a post on. I'm sure they are hidden there. I know the area very well.
You can
go
to Paris. It's next door to Paris. La Havre brackets Paris.
I know Normandy very well. I know Normandy very well. I know all that area very well. But obviously, the town of La Havre, I'm going to discover that. Determined. Then we've got a cruise on Explorer of the Seas, 1 week in June, which was one we had moved from later on in June because we triple booked ourselves, actually. We did a really good job there. We booked Glastonbury and we'd booked a cruise. So we've moved that forward, and that's doing Mykonos, Santorini.
Nice.
And then we're doing the transatlantic at the end of the year, going the other way from Barcelona to Fort Lauderdale.
I love how when any one of us talks about this transatlantic, we're all on. None of us know where it ends. We're like, Florida.
This is the cruise to nowhere.
Every time we talk about it, we're like, and it's going to Florida.
I know that one's on Oasis, but I have been on Oasis before. So, yeah.
It's Fort Lauderdale we ended.
Yeah. Well, that'd be lovely. And we are debating on whether to bolt a little Caribbean hop on the end of that. We'll see. Little
Icon of the Seas, why not?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be nice.
God, we'll have to come back.
And that's what I was saying about this cruise, Celebrity Infinity, just being on. And then after that, we just got on MSC, what was I just on? Orchestra. I was on MSC Orchestra, a similar sized ship to Infinity. And that's the difference. The cruises on these smaller ships are nothing like the cruises on, for instance, Symphony and stuff like that. I mean, it's totally different. It's completely different holiday altogether, I think. Completely different. You don't need to get off, do you, of these big ships? You just stay on them if you wanted to. Get lost on the ship.
With regards to kind of the shows then, did you see any of the theatre shows, and what were they? Were they kind of signature shows? Did they have entertainment, guest acts, things like that?
They had their normal group of singers and dancers. There was about eight singers, and they normally have like two top singers, don't they, that can sing, then they have dancers. So they had their group like that. Then they also got their entertainment team who do all the other quizzes and stuff like that. They were all really good. The shows were brilliant. They did a really good show towards the end of the week. I can't think what it's called now. I did put it in the post. And it was very much like Choir of Man, where it was all Irish and tap dancing, and fantastic. Absolutely brilliant show. Definitely West End quality. It was amazing. They had lots of other acts on. They had a really fun comedian, an American comedian who apparently went viral for his juggling. He did do his juggling and he was singing. I can't remember now. I'd had a couple of glasses of wine. But he was really funny, and he did a quiz evening with guests on board, and they did like some really funny stuff where it was truth or lie, where they had the captain of the ship saying about different words. Were they true? Were they not true? They were all really silly. And so some really fun things. The shows were really good. We enjoyed every show. And then obviously the disco in the evening. They had a really fantastic band. She has a wonderful voice, the lead singer. And she would be downstairs in one of the more jazz bands singing earlier on in the evening. And then later on in the evening, they'd do like an ABBA disco, but she'd sing, or they'd do a karaoke. But she'd sing as well. She'd help people along. They were fantastic. The music was brilliant. It's probably one of the only cruises that I've actually danced every night on as well, which is, you don't normally go to this, do you? But every night we was dancing, which was really good. So I was working off all that food I'd had in the buffet. But that's what got me thinking, actually, to the karaoke. So now karaoke, normally you get like a TV screen, don't you? And you can just sing along and it's like really easy. But, you know, this was like you was playing to a live band with an iPad.
Really?
And the music doesn't move. So it's like you're like a real band member. So you've got to try and it's the only karaoke where I've had to go like that with my mic. I couldn't see it. So I'm looking at this thing and it doesn't scroll up. You've just got to go, oh, that's the chorus, and you've got to go back down and find it like that. And then if you stop and you don't know what the next part is, the band sort of stop as well. They're waiting for you. So that was a bit
Bless.
Yeah, that was, you've got to be professional to sing on there, I think.
It's my idea of hell, as you know.
I know, you don't like karaoke, do you?
Oh, thanks. So,
I did, but these boots were made for walking. That was quite funny. Big people as well, all different nationalities. That was really nice.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, actually, as well, because obviously these are sailing in the winter in the Med, type of thing. What is the mix on board? Is it how many Americans, I guess, is the big question, and how many British people?
Oh, I don't know what the real actual mix was, but there was a lot of Americans, a lot of Americans.
Really? Okay.
Probably the most I've seen on that time of year on a ship. For instance, we just got off of MSC, and not very many Americans at all. It was mainly Italian, Spanish, Belgium, and people that were local to Spain, like sort of English people, like expats and stuff like that. It was a lot of American, a lot of British, and some Spanish. Completely different.
Just wonder, just because it's as far as, since I've been doing travel anyway, there hasn't been, because obviously we had COVID, and then they haven't been doing winter sailing. So I was just interested to see for an American brand, how many Americans would fly over to do a Med cruise in winter. But it's good to know that it is still popular.
I think they loved it. They really, really loved it. They got to see some really nice ports of call. And they are all quite high up in the Captain's Club. So they obviously love celebrity. They're just looking for a different itinerary.
So what was it like around the pole? Did you always manage to get somewhere to sit? Was it hot? Obviously, the time of year, was it hot enough or warm enough to sit outside? And if you wanted to, could you?
Right. Again, because it wasn't that warm, when we were sailing, the best days were when we were sailing actually into the Canary Islands. When we were sailing from Barcelona, it was quite cool, wasn't much to do. But those days going to and from the Canary Islands between that and Morocco. They were quite pleasant and the ship was going at a nice steady pace. It wasn't going too fast. It was too breezy. There were loads and loads and loads of sunbeds around the top. So if you wanted to be up around the top, you had no problem at all. Round by the pool, there was always sunbeds free. They were crammed in. I was a bit hate mom and you can't get your feet in between the beds. And yeah, I found quite hard trying to sort of navigate two beds in the middle when you can't go. You've got to climb on really unladen like with your bum in the air. That was the only thing I would say I didn't like about it. Yeah. There were some really nice sunbeds in the middle, like rattan ones, which was just laughing about because when I put that in the post, it translated it to rotten. I hope I've changed that. they always got commandeered straight away. And then you had the indoor solarium and always had beds around there as well. They also had, which was was fantastic, the towels were on the beds, rolled up on the beds, which was really nice. But they also had blankets. So you could grab a blanket. Yeah. There was loads of people when it was a bit cooler. So many people were sitting outside, maybe undercover with a blanket and reading a book to get in their fresh air. There was plenty of beds. And even on the days in Tenerife and that, there was spaces. But again, it wasn't a real hot holiday. But it was definitely warm enough to sunbathe in those last few days.
So pools, what was your favourite pool? What pools did you do? Have you got any tips that you could share?
Most of the pools we'd done before, I'd done Tenerife, but I hadn't got off for Tenerife. We did Casablanca.
Right.
That's always a really funny one. And everyone, last time we did that, we did an excursion because we hadn't done it before. And we was a little bit worried that we wasn't going to navigate around and you get the people trying to buy and sell stuff. And you hear all this, these stories, oh my God, it's not safe. So we were well prepared. We knew where the souk was, the Medina, but we hadn't been to before. We knew exactly where it was. We knew we could walk there, but we ended up getting the shuttle bus. So you walk out of the port. The other thing is you have to take your passport. And this was one of the only ports where you can't take an identity card or a driving license. It has to be your passport. So it's the only port where you think you're worried about having stuff with you and you've got to take your passport.
Yeah.
So you can't actually get out of the port unless you show them your passport. They want to see it before you come into Morocco. So we did that and we caught the shuttle bus to the main square, which is only probably 10-15 minutes up the road outside the largest Medina. And you get out of the shuttle bus and it's like there's four lanes of traffic with what appears to be about 10 lanes of cars. And it's every direction. And you're dicing with your life to cross the road. And in the end, the police stopped for us to cross the road. It was just, you have to run. You have to, right, there's a gap and you run.
Really?
And it's no good for someone that's not good on their feet or with a walking stick or anything like that. You wouldn't be able to manage that on your own. There's no way you would be able to cross the road. We did find out, however, there is further down an underpass, but we wasn't sure where that was. But we walked around the Medina, bought a couple of bits and pieces, nothing major. And although I felt a little bit apprehensive because people come up to you, as soon as you start looking at something, they want you to buy it or they're trying to make you buy it. But from the few vendors that we did buy from, they were so lovely. After I would come out the shop and I'd go the wrong way and they'd go, no, you were walking that way. Really, really, really lovely. And they'd say, thank you so much. At the end of the day, they're just still there trying to earn a living. So it was quite a nice experience. But we did that and then we just got back on the shuttle bus and straight back on the ship to have our nice lunch. All of the other ports this time, we just did a little wander around the port because practically all of them, you could just get off and walk, which was really nice. Gran Canaria, Palma, you could get off in Tenerife. And then we did one excursion in Cadiz. That was it. I was trying to think which one it was then. In Cadiz, you can get off and you can walk back. It's really lovely. We did do that in the afternoon. There was one excursion we did in the morning. It was to a sherry winery called Osborne. It's the oldest sherry making place in that area, and it's actually started by an English family. And I don't know if you know, when you're driving through Spain, you see those big black balls on the hills, and we drive a lot, so we see them all the time. So there's I can't remember how many there are now. I should have looked it up before. But they're on every hilltop. It's this big black ball in the distance. They used to be advertising for Osborne. So they had on the front of them all the billboards and everything like that. But obviously, it was distracting drivers. And they'd been there for years, since about the 50s. So they were ordered to take them down. But there was such an uproar that they'd become part of the Spanish heritage that they ended up just taking off the advertising and leaving the billboards there. And they actually, this Osborne...
Really?
Yeah, and this Osborne Sherry place had a museum all about it. It showed you where they all were and how big they were, and you could stand parked next to one of the feet. They're just absolutely huge. That I found really fascinating. It was really interesting. Lovely, lovely, beautiful winery. It was really lovely. That was a really nice excursion. And then we had enough time to go back on board to have a lovely burger at the pool bar, glass of wine, and then we got off and walked around the town of Guinness. Yeah, that was a really, nice. Good day, actually. It was a lovely day.
Sounds like you really packed it in.
Yeah, we all always like to get off, even if it's just to do something we haven't done before. But yeah, I think that was probably my favourite port of call.
Cool. Arno, thank you, Donna, for coming on anyway and sharing about Celebrity Infinity. It sounds like you had an amazing time, and I think it's really exciting to have a ship like you know, Celebrity Infinity sailing in the Med during the winter months. So if anybody who's listened to this in the UK, at least anyway, and you want to kind of get on board and get a winter breakaway, then definitely I would love to help you. You can find me online anywhere under magical-traveler.com or all my social media under magical TRVLR. And then I'll come to you first, Sarah, because I know obviously you have lots of information on your website as well about sailing with Celebrity. Where's the best place that people can find out, and what guides can they look out for on your website?
So you can find, if you just Google or Cruising with Kids or Cruising for All, and we have got the complete in-depth guide to Celebrity Drinks package. Donna has created a guide for the ship so that you can have a look at the ship and a review and what's on the ship. So we've got lots of celebrity information over on Cruising with Kids, Cruising for All.
And then Donna as well, I know you've got your own blog as well, separate to obviously Cruising for All as well. So where else can the guys find you if they want to kind of follow up and find out a bit more information about the travels you get up to?
You can find me, obviously all my cruising information goes on Cruising for All, but you can find me over at lightlovedo.com. There's some tidbits on France and Spain on there, along with a lot of craft, and Light Love London, which is solely London.
Brilliant, great. Other than that, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.